Well, looks like winter got to us finally. Went straight from summer to winter.
It is a little refreshing, though. I hope we get some moisture out of it. The Lord will bless us with a little bit of rain. We're calling for some, so I hope that we get some. Hope that you all had a good, restful afternoon. I want to say a thank you for being here this evening. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 14 through 17. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Going to look at the subject of prayer this evening. And the confidence that we can have in God through prayer, what a confident prayer looks like, and some of the benefits of praying. So we're going to look at that this evening. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us, that you would help us and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give us ears to hear, give us open hearts to receive your word. I pray that we'd learn something and we'd be strengthened in the faith, and we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. John begins his comments there in verse number 14. He says that we have a confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he's talking there about speaking to God in prayer. And he says that we can have confidence that God is going to hear us if we ask everything according to his will when we pray. Now, I know that there's a danger of presumptuous prayers. We ask things that aren't really God's will sometimes. Or we can. I mean, we're fallible human beings, but we must pray according to God's will. Thomas Manton, he was a Christian from by a bygone era, he said, one way to get comfort is to plead the promise of God in prayer. Show him his handwriting. God is tender of his words. So John says that we can have confidence in prayer to God if we ask according to his will. And where do we find the will of God? We find the will of God in his word. We're not going to find it anywhere else. I know there are people who say that they hear God speaking, but that's not what we're talking about. I don't believe that God speaks audibly today, but we cannot go outside of the revealed, written word of God and find the will of God. That's where you're going to find it. It's only in the scriptures. And so when we pray, we ought to pray according to the word of God, according to the written word of God, where we will find his will. And a good way to pray is just to remind God of what he said. Tell him what he said. Look, God, this is what you have said. This is what you have promised in your word. And remind God about what he has said when you pray. Look, God, I have a problem, and you said right here that you would help me, that you would strengthen me, that you would do these things. God, this is what you say. And I believe if you pray in that manner, you're never going to go wrong. I mean, who can go wrong by praying and saying what God says in his word whenever you pray? You're not going to be outside of the will of God, that's for sure. And so prayer is a necessary thing. It's a needful thing. But so many times Christians just, they don't pray. Let's just put it that way. Most Christians probably don't pray a whole lot. But prayer is needful and it's necessary. It's not needful for God. God doesn't need our prayers. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us. But He has ordained that we do pray in order to have our needs met. That's how God has set the whole thing up, is that you pray to me, I answer your prayers, I supply your needs. And so prayer is a necessary and a needful thing. It's an important thing. The disciples of Jesus Christ said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't know how to pray. And they weren't afraid to say anything, they didn't know how. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so that ought to tell us something. Prayer is something that's learned. Whenever I first started praying, however long ago it was, been a long time, I didn't know how to pray. And I'm still learning how to pray. And it's a learning process, learning how to pray. And the only way that you can learn how to pray, as we've heard Dad said plenty of times, is you just have to pray. You have to pray. And so I believe that prayer is one of the most neglected Christian practices of today. Christians just don't pray. And the reason is this, because prayer is work. Prayer is not an easy thing to do. You know, you can find a million other things to do besides pray. Prayer is work. Prayer makes you think. Prayer takes your mind off of yourself, it ought to, and onto other people. And you're thinking about other people and saying, I wonder if they need prayer, and you pray for them. And that's why people neglect it. It's a lot easier to read your Bible. Sometimes because you get something out of the Word of God and you think, man, I've got this knowledge right here. And the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. And so, boy, it makes you feel better whenever you get something out of the Word of God. But to pray, well, that means I've got to pour my heart out to God. And I've got to humble myself before God and let Him know that I am a fallible human being and I have done some things wrong. That's what we ought to do in prayer, by the way, also, is confess your sins before God. But that's not an easy thing to do. Is to confess your sins and tell God your needs and all of those things. So prayer is a work, but John says that we can have confidence in our great God whenever we go to God in prayer. And the first thing that we ought to make clear from this passage is that our confidence must not be in the prayer that we pray. Your confidence should not be, well, I prayed a long, flowery, well-worded, precise prayer, and so therefore God is going to hear me. And I'm not against well-worded, precise, long prayers. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But the problem lies is, well, my confidence is in the way that I worded that prayer and what I said. No, our confidence must be in God, because He says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Our confidence must be in God and not the fact that we prayed a great prayer. So our confidence is in Him. And we can come boldly, the Bible says, unto the throne of grace. We can approach God. When He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that means we can have confidence. Go on in there and talk to Him. Go on in there and tell God what you need and what your problems are and what your desires are and the things that you need in your life. Approach God. We can have that confidence. And our confidence, by the way, is rooted in these facts that we find about God in John chapter number 5. We can have confidence that we can go to God in prayer because, number one, we have been born again. Because we are children of God. I would not want to approach God in prayer as a lost person unless I was asking Him to save me or something like that. I would not have confidence going to this great God of Christianity in prayer if I was not born again. Do you know why? The reason why is because I would be going to God on my behalf, on my merits, and saying, look, God, I'm a pretty good person, and I think that you could probably help me out because I'm just a good guy and I deserve it. I wouldn't have a mediator in between me and God. It would just be me and God. But a Christian has Jesus Christ. And if you have been born again, you have Jesus Christ as your mediator. So we can go to God boldly. Why? Because of our great high priest. He is there and He's in between us. And we're not to be shy about it. Look, go in there and talk to Him. We can have confidence. We can also have confidence because we have a threefold witness from God concerning Jesus Christ, as we read about here in the first part of this chapter. We have a heavenly witness, an earthly witness, and an internal witness. So therefore, we should have confidence that God Almighty, the God of the Creator of heaven and earth, has given us this infallible witness about His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to be scared to go to God in prayer. No, go to Him in confidence in prayer. So if you and I want to pray with confidence to God, what must we do? What is a confident prayer for the Christian? A confident prayer for the Christian, number one, is just pray according to the will of God. Pray according to the will of God. We find that in verse number 14. And this is a confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will. There's an if there. There is a conditional clause to our prayers that if we ask God according to His will. We can't go to God just presumptuously and say, well, you just start unloading things that you want. No, there's some guidelines that you have to go by. There's some things that you have to know before you just go to God in prayer. You can't just indiscriminately go to God and start asking for everything under the sun. No, you have to ask God according to His prayer. And so it does matter how that we pray. We must ask God according to the will of God. And as I've already told you, we find the will of God in the Word of God. I'm not talking about the secret will of God. We're talking about the revealed will of God. And some people claim that they know the secret will of God. Right? Well, God spoke to me and He told me something, and God is always telling them something. They get up in front of a crowd or they're a televangelist and say, well, God spoke to me last night and He wants me to tell you this. You know what you need to do when you hear somebody saying that on the television? Click. That's what you need to do because they're a false prophet. God does not speak audibly to people and tell them to tell you something. No, He already spoke.
Amen. That's right.
And it's right here in His Word.
Amen.
So you can know the revealed word of, will of God. Now, there is a secret will of God. We don't know what God's going to do in any given situation, but we pray according to this.
Amen.
We pray according to the revealed will of God. And so we cannot pray contrary to this. We cannot go to God and pray contrary to this about certain things. But what is the revealed will of God in regards to our prayers? Well, for one thing, we must be honest with God when we go to God in prayer. That is the will of God. He doesn't want you to hide anything. When you go to God in prayer, you must be honest. All right? Psalm chapter 66, verse number 18, the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you regard iniquity in your heart, don't expect God to hear that prayer. What does it mean to regard? It means to hold something in high esteem. So if you hold sin in your heart while you're going to God in prayer, don't expect God to hear that prayer because God hates sin. And you can't hold it in your heart. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to hold on to this sin. And I'm going to treasure that sin up in my heart. And God has commanded us to be a certain way when we come to Him in prayer. And if we are sinners and we are going to confess our sins, we must come to God with a contrite heart. We must be sorry for our sins. Don't try to hold on to it. Confess it before God. Tell Him what you did. Agree with God about your sin. Tell God, look, I did this. Please forgive me. Ask for forgiveness. Don't try to hold on to it and say, well, maybe I can just hold on to it for a little bit longer. And maybe if I just don't confess it and I just hold on to it for a little bit longer, I can get away with it. God knows all about that. He knows our heart's desires. He knows what's going on in our heart. We can't regard that iniquity in our heart. We must come to God in repentance. We must come to God and be remorseful for our sin. So we can't regard sin in our heart and go to pray to God at the same time. We must be honest. Number two, we got to have pure motives. You can't go to God and have impure motives when you come to God in prayer. We find that in James chapter 4 in verse number 2. It says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. you ask amiss. Why? Because you want to consume it upon your own lust. But you know that some Christians pray for the wrong reasons? Well, they're going to God, and they're going to God because they're envious of the neighbor down the street. Boy, the neighbor down the street, they got a nice car. They got a new car, and I sure would like to have a new car. I don't like the fact that my neighbor has a nicer car than me, so I think I'll pray to God, Lord, I sure would like to have one of those Cadillac Escalades old Joe's got down the street there. I'd like to have one of those. Become jealous. And you go to God in prayer with the wrong motives in mind. You go to God in prayer and you don't care about other people. You only care about fulfilling your own selfish motives and your own selfish desires, and you don't care about other people. You must go to God with the right kind of motives. He says, you ask not and receive not because your motives are wrong. And the will of God is for us to have the right kind of motives. The next thing that would be the will of God when we come to God in prayer, this would be for you gentlemen, is to honor your wife. Honor your wife. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Bible says that your wife is a weaker vessel. She is not as strong as you. And to be quite honest, I'm kind of happy about that. Because I wouldn't want to have a wife that could just out bench press me. But that's not the kind of weakness he's talking about there. As a matter of fact, I like my wife because she's a feminine lady. And that's great. And I think that's the way that women ought to be, amen, is feminine. And I think that men ought to be men. Amen. We don't want any girly men. No, we want some strong, manly men, right, guys? Amen. And he says that she is the weaker vessel. Well, husbands, you are the leader of the home. You are the head of the home, and that means that you are not only the leader physically, but you are the leader spiritually. And your wife is weaker than you, but Peter says that even though she is the weaker vessel, that you are both equal in the sight of God as far as areas of salvation are concerned. Now, you might be stronger emotionally. You might be stronger physically. But in God's eyes, you are both equal. And when you go to God in prayer, you must be honoring your wife. You can't be disrespecting your wife and then go to God in prayer and expect God to hear your prayer. You got to honor your wife and respect your wife. And if a husband is disrespecting his wife and not honoring his wife, and then going to God in prayer, your prayers, I guarantee you, will be hindered. You must respect and honor your wife. That is the will of God. The will of God is not for you to belittle your wife and disrespect your wife and not honor your wife. We must, if we want our prayers to be heard by God. That is the will of God. And there's more that we could say about those things. But we must pray according to the will of God. Number two, we must pray with a certain knowledge. We find that in verse number 15. He says, and if we know that He hear us. If we know that He hear us. John uses the word know two times. And that's one of the reasons that John is writing the book of 1 John. John is writing so that we will know some things and we can be assured of some things. God doesn't want us to be unsure in our prayer life. God wants you to know that He hears your prayers. He doesn't want us to sit around thinking, well, I don't think that God's really hearing us. No, He wants us to know. He wants us to have confidence and knowledge of His will and His ability and His power to hear and answer our prayers. And if we are praying according to the will of God, we can have knowledge that He's hearing our prayers. We can have confidence. Look, the Lord's hearing my prayers. He says, we know that He heareth. He hears us. We can know that God is hearing us. And even though you may not feel like God's listening sometimes, you ever felt that way before? Praying, well, I don't know if God's hearing me or not. Can I assure you tonight that God is hearing your prayers? He does hear your prayers. And he goes on to say that we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. He says God's going to give us our petitions. He is going to answer our prayers. And so we need to pray with that knowledge. Pray with the knowledge that God is hearing you and he's going to answer you. He's going to answer you. Now, that's a great comfort and a pleasure to me to know that God is going to answer and hear my prayers. Now, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." He hears us. God hears everything that we say. But he says, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil." He's not hearing their prayers. He's not hearing their prayers. But God hears us, and he will answer us. But God answers our prayer according to his own timing. God's not always going to answer us according to our timing. Boy, we want God to answer us right now. We wish that God would do something right now sometimes, but God answers according to his timing. And God answers our prayer according to our greatest good. God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and that's when God's going to answer that prayer. And God's going to answer our prayers with his greatest glory in mind. That's the mind of God when it comes to answering prayer. We all know the verse, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so God is going to grant us our petitions, and we can have confidence that he will do so. But God answers our request and our prayers in his own way. Now, God may answer your prayer in a way that you may not even recognize. May not even notice that God has answered your prayer, but God has answered your prayer, and God has all kinds of ways of answering prayer. We think that God is just like this one-way kind of God where he can only do things one kind of way. No, God can do things in all different kinds of ways. William Tyndale, well, for one thing, he was burned at the stake. But he made his dying request as he was chained to the stake and strangled to death and burned. You know what his final request was? "Lord, open up the eyes of the King of England. Open up his eyes." You know why? Because he wasn't putting the Word of God out in England. He wouldn't let the Word of God be put out. And William Tyndale, his big crime, this is his big crime, translating the Word of God into English. And he wanted everyone to be able to read the Word of God in English. And that was his dying request. What a man. What a man. And he died not knowing that that request had been answered. But 3 years later, the King of England, King Henry VIII, had all of had the Word of God published and given to all the churches in England. God answered that prayer. Hey, William Tyndale didn't know anything about that. He didn't know God was going to answer that prayer. But he threw it out anyway. He said, God, open up the eyes of the King of England. And God did it. God did it. The Bible says that God controls the kings. And God answered his prayer and worked out his promises in his own way. And God will answer your prayers. You may not see it right now. It may happen some other time in the future, but God is going to answer your prayers. If we pray according to the will of God, God will answer our prayers. God answers according to his timing. God might wait a long time. God might wait, make you wait all your life. God may wait, and God may answer your prayer after you're dead. But God is going to answer your prayer. I guarantee you, he will. God called out Noah to build an ark. You know how long Noah had to wait before God actually sent rain? God told Noah, build an ark. And Noah did it. You know how long Noah had to wait? 100 years before God sent rain. You know how long I probably would have lasted building an ark, waiting for rain to show up, never seen rain before? Probably not 100 years. But God answers according to his own timing. According to his own timing. So just because it hasn't happened in your situation doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And God is a great God, and he hears your prayers, and he will answer them. And we are commanded to continue in prayer. Just because he hasn't answered right now doesn't mean that you stop. Doesn't mean that you stop praying. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so just because he has an answer doesn't mean that you stop praying. No, you keep on praying, watching the same, he says, as a soldier would stand guard and look over his platoon and watch over those guys. We ought to be the same way and watch in prayer, watching for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for them. Continue in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. God hears your prayers. We must pray with confidence in the will of God. Pray with knowledge that He is hearing you and that He is going to answer you. May not be your timing. You may not see it happen, but God is going to answer your prayers. But then John tells us who to pray for. We must pray for others. Pray for others. We find that in verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. He shall ask. He says, you watch out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. We're going to explain that here in just a second. But after John says we can have confidence in prayer, we must pray according to the will of God. We must pray with knowledge that He will answer our prayers. John tells us who to pray for. He says, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ that they will be faithful to God. Because we live in a cruel, sin-cursed earth, and it's easy to fall away. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's fitting that John would say these things because the whole theme of the book is love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will pray for them. Pray for them. I noticed two different kinds of sin here. One was a sin not unto death, and one was a sin to death. So he says, if you see your brother that sins a sin which is not unto death, what is that sin? Well, apparently, the people that John was writing to knew what it was. But it's a sin that leads to or finds its end that is not death. That's the sin that he's talking about there. And the sin that he's talking about there is sins that we all struggle with on a daily basis. And if you see a brother or a sister who is struggling with sin, and he might fall, he might sin, that sin might get the best of him. But he keeps on repenting, and he keeps on working at it, and this sin doesn't rule his life, and he keeps on working at it. God says you will ask for God and ask to pray for him. Keep on praying for him. Because he's struggling hard and she's struggling hard. It's not a sin unto death. Keep on praying, and he says that he shall give him life. What does that mean? God's going to help him out. God's going to give him life. He's going to animate him. He's going to revive him. He's going to help him as he struggles with that sin. It's a sin not unto death. John has been speaking here all throughout his book. If we've been paying attention, John has been speaking here all throughout his book about professors and possessors. Those who have faith, those who are true Christians, and those who are not true Christians. And he says there is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. What is this sin unto death? Well, if you look all throughout the book of 1 John, you're going to find out that it's rejecting Jesus Christ. It's rejecting Jesus Christ. He just told us in verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What's the sin unto death? The sin unto death is rejecting Jesus Christ. It's not believing on Jesus Christ. Now there's spiritual death, there's eternal death, and there is temporal death. A Christian can suffer temporal death. God can take the life of a Christian for sinning and not repenting. Read the story about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter number 5. They lied to the Holy Ghost and God struck them dead right there on the spot. I'm glad I haven't seen that yet. I would have been dead a long time ago. You know, I'm not perfect. But God can take the life of a Christian. There's temporal death, but there is eternal death, not for a Christian. Not for a Christian. The sin that leads to death that someone commits is the denial of Jesus Christ. Look, they are only merely a professor. They do not have genuine salvation. They are not a genuine Christian. And John has addressed this all throughout his letter. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Little children, is the last time. You have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we shall know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. They went out. They did not believe on Christ. So if someone is only a professing Christian and a believer, not a true believer in Christ, John says, you see that. He says it's a sin unto death. And he says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. You see somebody who continually rejects Jesus Christ, continually lives in sin, continually rebels against God, continually will not repent of that sin, and they have denied the faith, and they're not coming back, and they will not repent of that sin and that unbelief. John says there comes a time where you just don't pray for them. It's what the text says. I do not say, he says, that he shall pray for it. There comes a time where God says, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to do anything more with this person. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, God gave them up to their own lust, gave them up to their own reprobate mind, and he left them alone. That can happen. It's what it says. So we should pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that they'll be strong in the faith, even in the times of apostasy. Boy, it gets tough sometimes. Especially in our day and age, you see a great falling away. But is John saying that you can lose your salvation? It's not what John is saying. He hasn't even hinted at that. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is you must be born again. You must be born of God. So we must pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what matters the most. So we pray for one another. Well, what are some benefits of praying to God with confidence? What can we benefit from? Well, for one thing, I thought of is it can relieve anxiety and worry. We get into so many troubles and so many trials in this life. And if we know that God is hearing our prayers and we are praying according to the will of God and we know that God will answer us, you know what that gives us? Man, that gives us peace. It gives us peace. The Bible says the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It gives us relief, and we don't have to be full of care. Another thing I thought of is it increases our faith in God. Prayer increases our faith because when we are praying, we're not looking at the problem. We're giving it over to God. We're saying, God, this is yours, and I'm giving it to you. And it increases our faith and says, Lord, I can't handle it, but you can. Lord, I'm turning my problems over to you and I'm giving them to you. And that's what God has commanded us to do. He didn't tell us to carry those things around. He didn't tell us to carry those burdens around. No, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. It'll increase your faith. Our problems then are not ruling our lives. So easy for our problems to take over our lives and rule our lives. But give them to God in prayer. We must pray to God. A prayerless Christian is an oxymoron, folks. It's an oxymoron. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Because God has the power, not us. It's not like we're some kind of spiritual giants and we can take it on without God. No, God is our power. And if we don't ever pray, we're a powerless bunch of people. We must pray. And then when we pray, it sets our minds on the things of others and not on things of ourselves. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, look, set your minds on the things of others. Be caring about other people. Do you pray for other people? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Wives, do you pray for your husbands? Husbands, do you pray for your wives? Moms and dads, do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for your country? Do you pray for the leaders of your country? Do you pray that people would repent? Do you pray that people would be saved? Because that's the reason that one of the reasons that we are in a mess today is because we stop praying. We stop praying. Families stop praying for each other. Christians stop praying for each other. And then we just went down the tubes. We must pray. And we can have confidence. We can have confidence when we pray. So let's pray. Let's be praying people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.